Good morning, church. Yeah. So today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We will read from verse 1 to 11. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. If you didn't know, July actually is Youth Month. We celebrate young people this month. So in this month, we took some time off from service as usual, and we sent our youth on an amazing race. Organizers really stretched them. Of course, they travel from here to MacRitchie, to Gardens by the Bay. It was quite fun. Someone sponsored some koi cards as prizes, and we gave other prizes as well. Yesterday, we also had Fire and Faith Part 2, another sponsor, Dart Zone, sponsored guns and foam darts so that they could shoot each other. I will neither confirm nor deny that there was any bloodshed, but there were some grazed knees, some torn clothes, but it was fun for them. Each one of us has a story of how we became the person that we are today. We can remember core memories, identify the people along our journey that till today still influence us. A person whose faith was so clear, so influential, that it literally outlives them. My grandfather was an early influence. He was a man of very few words, but a voracious reader. I remember him buying me Bibles and books and devotionals for me, pushing them into my hands and say, read this. This is a good book. I remember as a young boy hanging out in church, I would see my grandfather walk into church on a weekday, go into the sanctuary, sit down and pray. And I hold that in my spirit till this day. Every time we went over to my grandparents' house for dinner, he would give me a book. He would never give me money. He would ask me if I was attending Sunday school. I would see him come to church every weekend, early for service, with my grandmother. She would be the one who would give me money. I say all this not to brag about my fortunate heritage, but because I feel so strongly about my generational village. The Bible is a book that's filled with both good and bad generational stories. The good ones are from Saul to David, Moses to Joshua, Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph. The New Testament, we have Jesus to the disciples, Paul to Timothy, Tychicus, Epaphroditus, the churches, etc., etc. We see how each person fulfilled their role as the forerunner for the next generation, as they each sowed and nurtured and encouraged. Paul himself had a heart for the young churches he founded. He wrote to them, even when in prison, he counseled, advised, rebuked to see them grow in the Lord. And Exodus chapter 3, verse 6 and Lamentations gives us these words. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. In Lamentations 5:19 says, but you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures all generations. My friends, as a church that is 53 years old, we can surely testify that God is a God of generations. Amen? He reveals himself in every generation, and we are all part of God's generational purpose. However, if we are not careful, faith can die at generation change points. We read Judges chapter 2 and we are told after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Before the Korean War, which was from 1950 to 1953, 4% of South Koreans were Christians. By 1985, it had risen to 34%. No doubt, a revival. But by 2015, it was 22%. However, of this 22% of those professing to be Christians, between 10 and 19 had fallen to 3%. If you look at it carefully, the Korean church had grown older. The younger generation had not grown because there was no intentional outreach to the young. I would assume with the growth of secularization and the information and availability of information globally, Korean youth had been influenced away from Christianity. Now, if this trajectory is not reversed, then in one more generation of 20 years, the South Korean Christian population would be worse off than before the Korean War. And as such, we must ask ourselves, what and how are we as a church sowing into the generations? What and how are we as a church sowing into the generations? Miles Monroe, an author, wrote this: true leaders don't invest in buildings. Jesus never built a building. They invest in people. Why? Because success without a successor is failure. So your legacy should not be in buildings, programs, or projects. Your legacy must be in people. If a successful farmer is to reap a particular fruit, he needs a particular soil and use a particular farming technique. He must cut, prune, uproot, replant, cultivate a particular environment and atmosphere to get a particular kind of fruit. One misstep and the fruit will disappear. As for the farmer, similarly for the next generation, we must similarly be intentional, consistent, and caring. Giving tender care to the generation so that we will have fruit that lasts for another 53 years. The faith of the last generation is useless if the next generation doesn't pick it up. So on this final weekend of youth month, let us reflect on 4 points that we can find from Joshua chapter 1 for our SJSM village. Point number one, there is a mission for every generation to fulfill. There's a mission for every generation to fulfill. Joshua chapter 1 verse 1 starts off with this: after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. In verse 2, it starts with this: God saying to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. This is a challenge for Joshua. This is a very challenging truth for Joshua to face. Because Moses represents the former life, a safety net for Joshua. With Moses around, there was nothing to worry about. You hungry? Go outside. Got biscuit to eat. You hungry at night? Outside? Got bird to eat. You thirsty? Just tell Moses. He whacked the rock, got water come out. There was nothing to worry about. But now, it's Joshua's time. Sure, there may have been comfort in the past successes, but we cannot rest on yesterday's accolades. The past has a very strong gravitational pull because it is a place of predictability and safety. For example, when released from slavery, the Israelites still longed for the food of Egypt, of their slavery, even when they were free men. But God had no intention for them to remain in their chains. His desire was a new day of freedom for them. Like Paul, Philippians chapter 3 tells us this. Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Paul said that all of his accomplishments, all of his failures, all of his challenges meant nothing to him. And he was looking ahead, putting in all his effort to what God had in store for him. The Lord is saying to us that we cannot remain and have the, this is the way we've always done it mentality. Like Joshua, we must chart new frontiers and step into new challenges. Moses' generation had their part in their mission, and now God is saying to Joshua, the wilderness time is over. It's a new day. You cannot walk into a new season with an old mindset. You've been wandering around on this side of the wilderness for long enough. It's time for a new vision in the new land I'm giving you. And this new generation needs to grab and hold and keep the vision of the mission before them. And not just the familiarity of Moses. Dr. A.R. Bernard said this, the people who lose the vision for the future will go back to their past. The landscape of generation next, very different from what we have ever seen or beheld. Now we're talking about Gen Z and Gen Alpha. Their challenges need new methods if they are to be met. However, here is point two. The promise of God remains. There is a promise for every generation to believe. In verse 5, it tells us that no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I don't know about you, but everything seems very different now. When I was a kid, last time, it was food delivered by Tingkat. I don't know whether or not y'all eat Tingkat food before. It was very magical. I open door, there's this Tingkat of food there. I take home, I eat, I just leave it outside. Magically, the next day, some more food appears. Always 2 meat, 1 veg. But now, it's food delivery of all kinds, anytime you want. Last time was used cash and coins only. Nowadays, we use our phone, our watch, we scan and pay. Last time, TV ends at midnight and then the Marikita comes out. Remember that? Okay, you laugh means you're old, okay. Like me, okay. But now, entertainment is endless. And I think sometimes very mindless. Some of the young people, they don't only play games, but on YouTube, they can watch people play games. And I ask myself, is that very entertaining to watch somebody else play a video game that you... And I look at them and say, why are you watching this? And they say, I don't know. Everybody else is watching. It's a stream. I'm like, it's a stream, similar stream. But now you can watch, you can play anything when you want on a myriad of platforms. Where we used to have to pick up the phone and make a call and hear each other's voice. And I was just having a conversation with somebody else. Nowadays, when I get a phone call for my son, I pick up and say, hey, what's wrong? Because I assume that something is wrong when he calls me. But now we can just text, we comment, we communicate by emojis. And you know, it's very strange, this new language that I have chanced upon. Language has even changed. If I am telling the truth, I have no cap. I say, I got no cap, what? I don't know what you're talking about. If I tell the truth, I have no cap. If I dress nice, they say I have a drip and then on fire or busing somewhere. If I say and do something they like, it seems I am slaying something. And if not, I am sus. They tell me to say less because I am low-key cringe. I have several L's. I say, excuse me, I'm only XL, not several. But I guess then, sometimes when I buy them lunch, I pass their vibe check and eventually I become a bestie. Which I think is my destination, it's my objective, to be someone's bestie. It's a whole new world. If you want to get the hang of it, just doom scroll TikTok. Now, Joshua didn't have the experience of the burning bush or of meeting Pharaoh. He didn't have to go through the frustration of leading like what Moses went through. And Joshua may not have been in the presence of God receiving the Ten Commandments, nor the frustration of Moses when the nation worshipped the golden calf. His experiences and challenges will differ, but God's relationship with them will be the same. God tells him, as I was with Moses, as I promised Moses, just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. The promise God has for the generations is that God will always be with us. As I was with your father and mother, your grandparents, your past leaders and pastors, I will be with you. My friends, as a previous generation member, we must encourage them. We must make space for them. We must walk with them through the fire and remind them to stand firm on the promises of God. If God did it before, He can do it again through you. We don't judge them when they fail, but point them to the God with whom they can prevail. We don't kick them when they are down. We spur them on to lay hold of the crown that awaits. We enable and empower them because there is a danger for every generation to face. Several times in Joshua chapter 1 alone, God says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Because I believe it hints to us that there are dangers ahead. In Revelations chapter 2, Satan, we are told that Satan had his throne in Pergamum. The church had come under persecution and therefore some had compromised on their faith. Although they had been faithful, but the Lord's charge against them was that they had succumbed to idolatry and immorality. And they had followed false teachings and ungodly influences. Things move much faster now. Information is so much more readily available now. Opinions are shared. People are cancelled at the speed of a finger twitch. And our values and decisions are continuously challenged. I read for you an excerpt from an article from the New York Times in June. After only 9 months with Starlink. Starlink is Elon Musk's satellite business. After only 9 months with Starlink, the Marubo, an isolated Brazilian tribe, are already grappling with the same challenges that have wrecked American households for years. I think Singapore also. Teenagers glued to phones, group chats full of gossip, addictive social networks, online strangers, violent video games, scams, misinformation, and minors watching pornography. In such a world as we have now, the temptation to compromise is high. Somehow we have been cajoled and persuaded to think a certain way, and that we must accept and approve everyone and everything for who they are. This all seems to sound good. But more importantly is the need to process the world through a biblical worldview and not our own wisdom dictated by culture. As the Church of God, we must more than ever uphold the values and teaching of the Word of God. We must uphold the uncompromisable gospel of the Lord Jesus, the one who came and died to show us the way to eternal life, to live by them, be shaped by these truths that stand the test of time. Never to bow to the danger of popular culture and worldly empathies. There is a fine line between a good thing and a God thing. All that seems good may not be of God. My final point is that there is a time for every generation to move. Joshua chapter 1 verse 11. Joshua tells the people, tells the commanders to walk through the camp to tell the people, prepare your provisions. Prepare your provisions. Joshua was Moses' assistant. Basically, he was the intern before he became a leader. Through the 40 years in the desert, he observed and he lived through the complaints and the rebellion of Moses' generation. He was shaped and prepared in heart and mine for the promised land. The problem we have is that sometimes we may be too eager to hand over the battle to the next generation. There is a time for them to move, but they need time to prepare themselves to handle the promise. Premature transitions will create people who are focused on the destination, the objective, but eager to abandon the journey. It was in the journey that Joshua built his tenacity and his resilience. It was there that the nation of Israel learnt unity, that the attitudes of Egypt were slowly but surely left behind. If you read the book of Joshua, there's no rebellion in the ranks. Unlike Moses' time. In the conquest, you will read again and again. You see it mentioned again and again. Then Joshua and all Israel with him. Then Joshua and all Israel with him. Then Joshua and all Israel with him. This Joshua generation moved together. No rebellions, no disunity, no disagreement to accomplish what God had promised them. Because they had time to prepare. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, Paul tells us this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, the descendant of David, such is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship to the point of imprisonment as a criminal. But God's message is not in prison. He says this. I want to highlight this. So I endure all things for the sake of those chosen by God, that they too may obtain salvation in Christ Jesus and His eternal glory. I end this message to say that a generation depends on you. On you and you and you and you. Generation depends on all of us. Look at what Paul said. Paul didn't pack up when the going was tough. He didn't pack up when he was old. He didn't say, okay, It's time for me to panggang ready. I'm going to chill and sit back. For the sake of the new generation of believers, sitting back in ministry was never on his mind. Paul faithfully discharged his duties for the sake of the kingdom and those who came after him. My friends, let us look generationally. Let us be challenged generationally. Let us sow generationally. Regardless how young you are, no matter what age you are, let us think for the next generation and serve them. This means seeing how we can help and serve, not only in our next gen ministries of JCTE, Heartbeat, or the Heartbeat Young Adults. Not only that, but look to how we can serve generationally in our homes, in our workplaces. How we can serve and mentor the next generation, walking with them, so that in the years to come, this place will continue to be a vibrant village. I end with these words from Billy Graham as he reflected on the death of his parents. What we did have back then was family solidarity. We really cared about each other and we liked to do things together. Jesus' word picture of a hen gathering her brood under her wing fits my mother. She saw to it that we gathered frequently and regularly, and not just around the dinner table or in front of the radio for favorite broadcasts. She gathered us around herself and my father to listen to Bible stories, to join in family prayers, and to share a sense of the presence of God. When his mother died in her sleep in 1981, Graham said this, "When word came, I wept and yet rejoiced at the same time. Of all the people I have ever known, she had the greatest influence on me. I'm sure one reason that the Lord has directed and safeguarded me as well as my family through the years was the prayers of my mother and father," Billy Graham. We cannot foresee what this church will be like in the next 50 years, or even if this sanctuary will still be used. It doesn't really matter. Beyond the houses and flats and the hefty bank accounts that we will leave for our future generations, I pray that all who come behind us will find us faithful. I pray for all of us that the fire of our devotion will light their way. I pray that the footprints that we leave will lead them to believe more and more in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that the lives that we live will inspire them to always obey Him. My friends, may we all live our lives so that our generations will be impacted. Billy Graham has this great quote. You can see it on the screen. He says that the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith. We will sing this song as a response and as a reflection. Can I just invite us to stand? As we sing this song, a very old song by Steve Green, "Find Us Faithful." A meaningful song. But as we sing it, I pray that we will all ask the Lord to reflect upon how our lives have been thus far and what God wants to do through us for generations and generations. Let us ask the Lord to always help us to think generationally.